This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for this introduction, and welcome to the Christian War Room, where we are fighting for the truth. We are living in perilous times where we have got doctrines of demons telling us all sorts of stuff, and we are here in the War Room to highlight what is going on and to encourage you to develop strategies to fight these heresies, to fight these doctrines. Okay, imagine the following. Just sort of think about it for a moment, yeah? And then we're going to go into our today's subject. Okay, first of all, there's a pastor. The pastor gets up and he's got a big church. There are lots and lots of people, thousands of people. And you think, okay, you know, this is a big church. It cannot be that wrong. You know, it's not just a couple of people. Let me go off on a tangent a little bit. I've been to many churches and I've seen the good, the bad and the ugly. And one church was quite interesting. I met a pastor and I thought there's something quite wrong about him. And it was, I was supposed to do some work there for this church to help them out, voluntary work, needless to be said. And anyway, what they did is they wanted to build a church building, and they had like a fundraising event. And anyway, they invited lots of choirs from all over the country, and there were about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 choirs coming and singing a song and doing their little help for this fundraising event, which was on a Saturday night. Lots of pastors came as well, for some strange reason. And when it came down to it, the church consisted of just a handful of people. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that, but anyway, the pastor, he desperately needed a new house, and he needed a very big house as well. And when we had this meeting with him to try and find out what was going on in this church, and what he wanted to do and what he wanted us to do, So I kind of thought, you know, when all this was done, that they needed a church building, obviously, and next to the church building needed to be this really, really big house, and he needed lots and lots of money to realize this, and therefore he had this fundraising thing, and he had lots of faith and everything as well. It turned out that that then suddenly there was just a handful of people, and they were all related to one another. I'm not quite sure. I think the pastor was actually not related to them, but the congregation just consisted of literally a handful of people. There were less than a dozen, and maybe five, six people, all related to one another in some way or another. And I think there were only one, you know, just a couple of people who were not related to any of them. And the whole thing turned out to be just a scam, just one big scam. You know, they got all these choirs from all over the country, and in the end, they were urged, you know, to in order to please God, to let go lots of their money, and it was all a hype-up service and everything else. I went away from this. I was a young Christian at the time, and I thought, this is weird, and sort of as I grew older, I'm not surprised, because I've seen so much of this going on, that it is quite, you know, quite concerning. Anyway, let's imagine, we've got a pastor here, he's got a big church, a very, very big church, and this pastor rises up and says that everything he says as the same status as the Bible. So that means he says something, and it's gospel truth. It's the Bible. Right. First question is, what do you think about this? Everything he says has got the same status as the Bible. You know, the Bible says something, it's the word of God. Pastor says something, it's the word of God. Now, my my thinking straight away would be, this is a cult leader. You know, you can't trust him. You can't trust him with your cat or dog. Because who knows what he's going to do with them. He's a cult leader, an egomaniac. You know? That's what I would say. If a pastor comes up and he says that everything he says, you know, as far as doctrine is concerned, has got the same status as the word of God. Then he goes along and he says he cannot make an error when he proclaims a doctrine. It's impossible. It's impossible for him to get it wrong. Again, cult leader. You know, big stump written over him. This guy is a cult leader. Stay away from him, you know, only meet him at your own peril, don't touch him with a barge pole, just push him away and let him do his own thing and warn those whom he is deceiving. Okay, then this guy goes on and he says, you know, to find out whether somebody is holy or saint, What you need to do is you need to find reports of people that have prayed to this guy, and their prayers got answered, and that is after that person has died. So in other words, you know, somebody, we don't know, you know, whether somebody's a saint or not. Yeah. So what you do is, you know, when that person dies, you just pray to that person, like when you need a healing or you've got a problem or something. And when this prayer gets answered, that's a sign that the guy is really a saint because he's in the presence of God and he has heard your prayers and he's passed them on to God. Okay, what does the Bible say about praying to dead people? It's a big no-no, a big no-no. Yeah, okay. And then next you go, you know, sin is a big problem. Obviously, in modern church, it isn't anymore because sin doesn't exist, like hell doesn't exist and other things. That's a modern interpretation of clueless people. Anyway, let's say you still know and realize that deep down you're a fallen creature. You've got a sin issue. And you go along and you say, and this guy goes along and he says, look, if you want your sins forgiven and you want to deal with your sins, you need to see a pastor, i.e. this cult leader, this person, and tell him all of your dirty secrets, and he will tell you what to do for penance. So you have to do something so that your sins are forgiven. Then your sins are forgiven. Yeah. Okay. So he's got the control over you. You struggle with sin. You confess your sin, and, you know, not to God, but to him. And then he will forgive your sins, providing you do X, Y, Z. Yeah. So if somebody comes along like that, what would you say? I mean, you would say, you know, get on your bike and get off. You know, you've got nothing to do here. This is just a heresy to the utmost. We need to separate from you. We cannot endorse you. You know, when we've got our little church bulletin, we won't put in when your Bible studies are because you're clearly a cult leader and we've got nothing to do with you. Do your own stuff, you know. Hope you come round and one day the deception is going to stop and you will see Jesus for whom he really is and see the word of God for what it really is. And then he carries on and he says there are several ways to God. You know, there are the saints you can pray to. There's Mary, there's Jesus, and maybe there are other ways as well. Yeah. Again, he would say, no, this is wrong. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. No one comes to God except through him. Yeah, that's what the Bible clearly says, John 14. And then he goes on and he says he's got the audacity that the only way to salvation, you know, the only way to God is through his church. No other church can save. And again, we've got a big problem there. Yeah? And we need to reject it most vehemently. So I've given you a couple of examples. And we're going to look at the Catholic Church and the recent attempts to unify all churches with the Catholic Church. And we get like a lot of Christian leaders within the evangelical church just falling for it, right, left, and center. And we've got a big problem in this area. So we need to... We need to make sure that people understand, you know, this is wrong. There's only one way, and that is the Bible. Unity for the sake of unity is a problem. And on the contrary, the Bible tells us if somebody preaches a different gospel to the one Paul has preached, the Bible in Galatians tells us cursed is that person, cursed is that organization, that institution, whatever it is. And then the other way, Paul warns us, and he says, look, stay away from them, you know, just separate yourself. Don't even greet them in the street. And that is when when somebody who claims to be a Christian, somebody claims to be a brother, you know, comes out with something very different. And what we find within the evangelical community that, like Kenneth Copeland, even the late Billy Graham, you know, he had his love relationship with Catholicism, and it's a big problem. I mean, very often people may not realize what they let themselves in for. I'm an ex-Catholic. I know the organization from the inside. And not just by name, I was a strong, good Catholic, raised in the tradition and everything. And pretty much all ex-Catholics who have come to know Christ and have left the church, they pretty much have got the same view of it. So it's very important to kind of have a look at this, yeah, and see what we should do at the evangelical church. And one, or Bible-believing church, yeah. And one point is, we need to keep our doctrine pure. We need to keep it clean. And we need to separate us from those who don't follow the word of God and not seek unity for the sake of unity. It's very, very important. Okay, I've got a talk here. We're going to split it up in about three parts. So stay tuned here. It's It's very interesting. Very interesting talk. Okay, you're listening to BPN Radio, Seismic Radio, and I have to say, not all the opinions expressed here on this program are necessarily the opinions of the management of BPN Radio.
The Word of God declares that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We see that being fulfilled today in the Satanic Ecumenical Movement. Not only are the Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, and other religions yoking themselves together under the banner of peace, tolerance, and mutual respect for each other's belief systems, but incredibly, some of the most well-known and well-respected so-called evangelical Christian leaders are leading the way in their quest to unite the Protestant churches with the Roman Catholic Church, the most unbiblical, heretical, and antichrist cult on planet Earth. Despite the clear directive in Scripture to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, traitors in the evangelical church have tossed that aside to commit spiritual fornication with the false and satanic religions of the world. The end result of this worldwide harlotry will be a one-world religion, headed up by the false prophet during the coming seven-year tribulation period. That satanic system will ultimately be destroyed by Almighty God. But until then, there's a mass apostasy from biblical Christianity happening right before our very eyes. And the scriptures are clear that things will only get worse. In this documentary, we will look at the unholy alliances being formed with the Roman Catholic Church, the wolves in sheep's clothing who are parading as shepherds over the flock of God. And we will contrast the faith which was once delivered unto the saints with the satanic religions of the world that are damning billions of people to the lake of fire. Our subject matter? The Ecumenical Movement.
Mark Sennett. A few years ago, a dear sister of mine in Canada gave me a call, and she told me about an interfaith symposium that was going to be taking place in her town. The Buddhists were going to be there, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Muslims, and some other people were going to be there, and so she went there to be a witness. She took some Gospels of John, and she took some tracts, and she put them on the windshield of each of the cars. Now, a few days later, an Anglican bishop or pastor, whatever he calls himself, he wrote the newspaper, and he began to rebuke my friend for being a narrow-minded Christian. He then called the Gospel of John and the tracts that she put on the windshield of the cars, he then called them mind pablum. Now think about that. This is supposed to be a representative of the Anglican Church, and he's calling the Word of God mind pablum. He then began, of course, to say that all roads lead to heaven, and in the end, everybody's going to be saved. And that's what the ecumenical movement is all about. That's the wickedness of the ecumenical movement, all right? The fact of the matter is that these people do not believe. I'm speaking now about Christians, so-called Christians, who are going in that direction. They do not believe in the Bible. They do not believe in biblical separation. And so what I'm going to do over the next 12 or 13 minutes is I'm going to show you what Christians over the last 2,000 years have believed, and then I'm going to contrast that with the Catholic Mass and transubstantiation. Now, we're going to look at the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church, of course, is the leader in the ecumenical movement. So we're going to contrast those two. We're going to contrast faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ because the work of redemption has been completed. And we're going to look at their Catholic Mass and transubstantiation because it's a re-crucifying of Christ over and over and over again. They do not believe that the work of redemption has been completed. And for that segment, I thank my friend James Battelle from Ex-Catholics for doing the commentary for me. James has been a dear friend of mine, and so I thank him for being a part of this documentary. And after that section, we're going to jump into the meat and potatoes of this documentary, and I'm going to show you all the devilish things that's been taking place in the ecumenical movement. All right, so let's get started.
One of the reasons the ecumenical movement is satanic to the core is because those advancing it say that the core beliefs of each religion must be watered down or be done away with for the sake of unity and the common good of mankind. That may be fine for the followers of the various false religious systems, but it would be deadly for the Christian faith. Biblical Christianity cannot compromise with any other religion because it is based on truths that are non-negotiable. First, biblical Christianity teaches that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Infallible meaning that it is incapable of failing or certain, and inerrant meaning that it contains no errors. In his high priestly prayer in John 17:17, our Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the apostle said that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In 2 Peter 1:20-21, the apostle wrote that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Psalm 119, the longest of the 150 Psalms, is entirely about the Word of God. Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." The Bible is the word of God, and that is one of the non-negotiable truths of the Christian faith. No other religious book has been authored by Almighty God. The Quran, Book of Mormon, Bhagavad Gita, Hindu Vedas, the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, etc., are all the work of sinful men and women who wrote under the inspiration of devils and the father of lies himself. Biblical Christianity also teaches that our Lord Jesus Christ was virgin-born, prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, and fulfilled in Matthew 1:23-25, Luke 1:27, and Luke 2:6-7. Biblical Christianity is also explicit that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Isaiah 9:6, Matthew 4:3, Matthew 16:16, Mark 1:11, John 1:18, John 1:34, and other scriptures. All false religions reject that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Some, like the Mormons, teach that he is a Son of God, but not the only begotten Son of God. Our Lord's deity was vindicated by his miracles and his bodily resurrection from the dead. Biblical Christianity also teaches that there is one God, but within that Godhead are three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16-17, Mark 1:10-11, John 14:26, 2 Corinthians 13:14, and others. That foundational truth is rejected by almost all the cults, with the exception of Roman Catholicism. Now, at the heart of fundamental Christianity is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for lost humanity. On the cross, the sins of the world were placed on the Lord Jesus, and he satisfied the wrath of God that we all deserved. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the grave to prove that God the Father accepted his sacrifice on the cross for us, and his resurrection also proved, without the shadow of a doubt, that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Biblical Christianity teaches that whosoever places their trust in the finished work of Christ will be saved. It teaches that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any works on our part. We're simply called to believe on what Christ has done for us, and if we do that in simple faith, we will be justified, declared righteous in the sight of God Almighty. Again, that essential truth is rejected by every other religion and cult on the planet, which all teach that man has to do something. Man has to earn his place into heaven by doing good works. There are really only two paths a sinner can take: the path of human achievement, which is a path of false religion, or the path of divine accomplishment, which is biblical Christianity. The majority of mankind has decided to take the first path. The other essential truth of biblical Christianity, and the one that goes completely against the ecumenical movement, is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. No other way exists. We will speak more about that in our final segment. And finally, biblical Christianity teaches that all who reject the finished work of Christ on the cross will be judged at the great white throne judgment and then be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Most false religionists consider that to be the most offensive and repulsive of all Christian truths, but it is a biblical fact. Our Lord Jesus spoke more about judgment and hell than anyone else in Scripture. The idea that everyone will ultimately end up in heaven is foreign to the pages of Scripture. But sadly, universalism is gaining a foothold in many areas of so-called Christianity, like the heretical and apostate emergent movement. Be not deceived. True Christianity can make no compromise with the false religious systems of the world. They're on two different paths, with two different destinations. The path of divine accomplishment, represented by the gospel of Jesus Christ, leads to forgiveness of sins and everlasting life in heaven, in the presence of God Almighty, the holy angels, and the redeemed saints. While the path of human achievement, represented by every other religious system, leads to judgment and the lake of fire. The satanic ecumenical movement is on the Broadway that leadeth to destruction.
The Catholic Church don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins at the cross. They have to sacrifice him afresh each and every day. Not literally, of course, but through a non-bloody sacrifice, i.e. the Mass, i.e. transubstantiation. But in essence, the Catholic Church, like I say, don't want to receive faith alone for one's salvation, so they have to bring in works. And this is very much a throwback to the Old Testament. The Catholic Church corrupts the New Testament, whereas Judaism corrupts the Old Testament, and they both meet halfway in the middle. But the problem for Bible-believing Christians is trying to explain to Roman Catholics, really, as to why the Mass is irrelevant and how the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world just once. One death, one burial, one resurrection, one atonement. It's a one-off act, it's a one-off deal. The atonement simply at one moment. It's done, it's a free gift given from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father, and those of us which believe on the Lord, those of us which receive the Lord's atonement, can be saved. The Mass, on the other hand, keeps the recipients going back to church week after week. Holy days of obligation, so-called, weekday services, if you wish, these services continue to be an every part occurrence of the faith of a Roman Catholic. And in essence, they have no assurance of salvation. They go back to the Mass, like I say, daily, weekly, all year round, hoping and praying that somehow they will be made right with God. And in essence, they are bribing God through their good works. They hope their good works are going to save them. And what normally happens is they will quote James chapter 2 instead of Romans chapter 4. And of course, James chapter 2 is speaking about justification by works in the sight of men, whereas Romans chapter 4 is speaking about justification by faith in the sight of God. But like I said, this is a big subject, and it needs to be studied very carefully in light of Scripture. The dispensations need to be understood, for the Old Testament being the Jews under the Old Covenant, whereas the New Testament is New Covenant for those of us living under grace. One death, one burial, one resurrection, one faith, and through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the just shall live by faith. We are saved, we are made right with God, and we are received into his sanctuary. Transubstantiation primarily comes from John chapter 6, when the Lord said you had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to be saved. And they take that verse to be literal. And the problem with that, of course, is if you were to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood, not only would you be in violation of the Old Testament, where you were told very clearly not to consume the fat or to drink blood. Secondly, you'd be also guilty of cannibalism, or modern days, the area of being a vampire, which is very popular today in modern day society with all these films and everything. But thirdly, even if you could, even if it were possible to physically eat him and physically drink his blood, it wouldn't save you. Because John chapter 6 says, these words that I speak to you are spirit. The flesh profits nothing. These words are spiritual. So transubstantiation is not biblical. It's a very dangerous doctrine. And it also falls under the trap of letterism, where you take the Bible to be literal. And of course, we take the Bible to be literal as Bible-believing Christians, but we have to be wise when we do so. I mean, the Lord said he was a door, but he's not a literal door. The door simply means an entrance between man and God, between heaven and earth. And therefore, we have to be wise when it comes to rightly understanding the scriptures. But transubstantiation, like I say, is a false doctrine. It's a very dangerous and deceptive doctrine. And again, it puts the emphasis on the ignorant Roman Catholic going to church each and every day, hoping that his works are somehow going to save him. And it won't save you at all. You need to come to the Lord as a humble sinner and cry out to him and believe on his death, burial, and resurrection.
You're listening to the Christian War Room. Yeah. The big question is, what are we going to do about this? There's big deception going on. And my thinking is, what has been happening in our generation is that tolerance is like the biggie. And that's what political correctness tells us. We need to be nice. We need to be tolerant. And we've got like this group out there, massive group, who's looking for unity under their supremacy, under their control. And the temptation is there to just, for the sake of unity, for the sake of being nice, for the sake of tolerance, to just give into it. And we need to resist this move. We cannot be tolerant to something which clearly is in error as far as the Word of God is concerned. Now, we need to be loyal to the Word of God. We need to be loyal to the Bible. We need to be loyal to what the Bible preaches, and groups which go over and beyond what the Bible says, we need to separate ourselves from them. And that is very, very clear. And we find that there is an agenda, and it's probably, it's never been as strong as under this Pope, where he's looking for unity throughout the whole spectrum, you know, be it Christian, non-Christian, whatever it may be. He wants to create unity, and he does this on the pretext of being nice, good, considering, accommodating, and so on, and a lot of evangelicals fall for it, and it's a big mistake. You get maybe some street grit, some credos, you know, for doing this, but what for? You know, we are serving a living God, and the way we are walking is very, very narrow. So don't walk on the broad way. Don't deviate from the way God has placed in front of us. And that way is clearly described by the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for discernment in these difficult times, in these perilous times where doctrines of demons are moving right into the church, trying to confuse us and trying to lead us away from the narrow path. We pray, help us and lead and guide us on the good and narrow way. Help us to fix our eyes upon you and upon your word, and to not either move to the right or to the left from it. Lord, help us also to encounter these people in love and to lead them to truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.